Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. So, it's about words. Not so much the video, not much really happening in this video. I probably should have some kind of clock ticking or something to, you know, occupy some minds. But anyway, there is some thought fodder in the background. And that's sort of the subject, is this different way of communicating, well, simple ideas, and or ideas in general, don't even have to be that simple, frankly. You could have more than one or two or five or ten elements to it, and you could still draw a picture of it, and an illustration, a figure, you know, that you might have in a paper of some kind, referenced. And picture says 1,000 words, and 1,000 words can draw a pretty good picture, and all of that crap. But it's just about the argument, and unfortunately, the argument isn't that complicated. It's all the barriers to the argument that create the complication. So you could argue that the logic, the illogic of religion, has been demonstrated and people have attempted to illustrate it for a long time. Now, I'd say there wasn't too many great illustrations of the God delusion, people being drawn as imbeciles, for believing, for having faith and all of that crap. Because, unfortunately, most civilizations are run by religious kooks. And they frown, upon insults to their character as human beings, because you would basically qualify them as imbeciles, frankly. If it was some sort of driver's test, you'd fail the test if you can't figure out faith isn't a good reason to believe that you should have evidence to believe in something. And you should be able to make a logical argument, and you should be able to defeat any counter arguments, explaining the facts of life in terms of stuff like evolution, which is clearly the counter theory to most all creation stories. I mean, obviously people can come up with some wacky creation story that, God created, the first spark of life thing or something, and he was perfectly okay with the whole process of evolution. So that's sort of the subject I want to get to, is the fact that, it's not a very complicated argument to make, and it's just made out of, two basic ideas of waste and imposition. And that the only way you see those things is using your intelligence, okay? I mean, some people can't see when something is a bad, they can't balance their checkbook. They can't figure out when they're paying way too much for way too little. So, you have to make the argument. Now, you really shouldn't have to make the argument, is the point. And the only reason why you have to make the argument is because of the delusions in the way that distort people's perspective and overwhelm them with some sense of, make them defensive, essentially, where they have to somehow defend some precious thing that they've decided can't be violated, some notion that their life does have purpose, or that they do have a free will, or, some other crap, frankly. And the fact that that's even still a subject among academics, that even academics, people who are supposed to be smart, have this great apprehension, in just recognizing a simple fact that, you're a programmed machine, and, you don't really have a damn thing to do with making you. You was made by a whole bunch of environmental influences, and you're not your own creation, kind of thing. You didn't birth you or engineer you. You were engineered. And you can be engineered by... See, I'd like to be able to say, science, but obviously I have a real problem with what science has done. In some areas of science anyway. So it would be nice to be able to say something. You were engineered by, Isaac Newton or Albert Einstein or something. But those aren't necessarily good designers of a human either, in terms of a perspective. So the waste word comes in, and just the idea that, so, you know, the real story is that we evolved, and it was a huge price paid. Okay, so we're basically fish. All right, they were just very good at grazing an environment. Okay, you know, and eking out existences. You know, they had some interesting features, but you know, mostly it's this life of just consume enough to lay your eggs and get the hell out of the way, is basically the plan. And you know, we came onto the land, you know, our ancestors, and they developed new features because it was a much more complex environment, and new features were possible, let's just say, because it wasn't this thick liquid you were in anymore. You weren't being controlled by it. You had this thinner atmosphere to maneuver in. And so, yeah, we gained different features, and one of them was this idea of expanding what the brain is doing. Sounds, all kinds of stuff, and that led to language. But it was all hard-earned. I mean, an insanely high price paid for the tiny bits of information we gleaned out of the world. The fact that the Bible, the religious, the God documents, don't contain any of these insights. You know, they don't provide the formula for making morphine. You know, we have to do it. You know, and through this hard and difficult process of killing ourselves, essentially, or our people, or our children, or our fellow humans, in the process, and grotesque numbers, and all of the, you know, all of the tragically horrid stories that have been told in the name of us acquiring intelligence. And the fact that people have so little respect for something that was so hard earned, you know, that such a high price had to be paid. You know, hundreds of thousands of years from the point of being able to keep a fire burning to, you know, landing on the moon. And all of the, you know, brutal human tragedy. And that's just the human story, you know. Again, you could tell the sentient brain story, and that goes back a lot further than few hundred thousand years, goes back, you know, a couple of hundred million, where animals have been enduring failures, you know, terrible, well, you could argue what unnecessarily brutal death, you know, disability and death, you know, just all of the anguish and anxiety and fear and terror and insane pain for what we're doing, frankly. There's nothing else happening. The rest of the biosphere doesn't do anything, okay, because it doesn't have an intelligence, so it just grazes and dies and grazes and dies, and it just tells the same story over and over and over. And the story is so redundant and so overtold and so bad, frankly, that nobody could take it. Nobody using their intelligence in any kind of rational way could say, well, yeah, that's a good design. That's working just fine. I mean, if you turned it into a machine that, you know, made sounds and pieces moved, you could know the machine was broken because there's way too much blood squirting out. You know, it's not doing anything efficient enough to be declared good. You don't watch it grind up the little babies and the children, you know, whack their nuts off and applaud and say, oh, what a great show. Thank you. Worth the admission. No. And you certainly wouldn't want to have been a victim of it. You wouldn't relive their lives by any kind of rational choice. So the whole problem is finding this rational thing. You know, it's It's like somebody marrying Ted Bundy, right? I mean, that should be evidence of it's time for you to go to the wacky house. Okay, it's time, you know, you need some... pause. Ah, okay. So the delusions are everywhere. You know, there's, you know, you could probably analyze any person's life and find things they're doing that are irrational. I mean, I could say that there's aspects of my own life. You know, I can look at my desk and say, shit, I have a clutter problem. You know, I don't like putting things away. I always think I'm going to get to, oh yeah, I'll get to that. I don't know what the hell this is doing here. What? I mean, there's stuff. Okay. You know, remote controls that don't control anything. You know, just this. Oh yeah, I'm going to get to that. Oh yeah, I'm going to solder that. I'm going to, yeah. And so, you know, I could sit there, and if somebody asked me, maybe I'll get defensive, and maybe I'd say, no, there's a it works out, yeah, because, you know, in the long term, yeah, it works out, but, you know, I'll make excuses. But the fact is, it's a defect in my functionality. It's just a fact. It's not functional. It's not a good idea. It doesn't make any sense. But if I have to defend my whole life, okay, and this has to be part of it, like I can't concede anything, because conceding anything is going to jeopardize everything else. Then I'm going to defend it. And, you know, that's all people do, is defend irrational mush. Because they think it's an all or nothing package. And, you know, they really can't give any ground, because there's a lot of ground to take. You know, once you start acknowledging the defects, there's lots of others to find. And then you're in trouble, because then they can get to your core, you know, your little sacred God belief, or your spirituality, or whatever the babbly notion is that's in your head. But anyway, you know, there's reasons people are crazy, frankly. You know, there is a reason. Everybody who has some kind of silly delusion, there's some reason it's there. And I guess the argument would be is that there has to be some way of filtering all of that, like some cultural, okay, mechanism that makes it possible to realize that, you know, it's all, you know, that we can recognize the difference between rational and irrational, and oblige people to be rational, you know, and to accept that, okay, I grew up as a Muslim, okay, yes, everybody told me I have to believe, and if I don't believe, I'm going to hell, and my whole family will be tortured, and blah, 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 and all these threats, and all this extortion, and yeah, it's just a story, okay, get over it, and have some respect for your intelligence. Recognize that your intelligence has to deal with reality. It has to interact with reality, or it's going to do great harm. And that's just a fact. You're not, this isn't harmless. Goodwill is, you know, the road to hell is paved with, you know, good intentions, polluted by silly delusions, frankly. I mean, you know, it's fine that you love or care or wish, but you have to do it in the context of reality, or you are a threat, you are dangerous. You know, and it's that simple, frankly. I mean, one of the only things we can glean out of this is that if we're going to bet on something, we have to bet on the truth being the better road than silly lies and silly stories. And so there has to be some effort recognize that it's, my cluttered desk is not really an issue, okay? It doesn't matter. You don't have to run the world based on this, okay? So you can have your wacky notions. You can believe whatever you wish to believe, in the sense of whatever you cherish, and you, all of that crap. But don't talk that shit. Don't sell that shit. And don't vote that shit. Okay, don't impose that shitty thinking on the rest of the world. Don't make that the structure of the rest of the world. don't put the future in that jeopardy of paying the price for that sloppy. Because, yeah, it's like driving on bald tires or something. It's just a matter of time before it will cause some kind of tragedy. Some sort of waste will be produced because it's not sensible, and it is all of the things you have to avoid, which is unnecessary risk and not being efficient. All right, I'll take a little pause. See if I can straighten this road. Alright, so I was just thinking about how to make the argument, what's going to mean something to a person listening, and you're just like, oh, they've been trying to do this for a couple hundred years anyway. But then you could argue that there was people 1,000 years ago who spoke a little bit of pessimism, who said things like, you're better off going to hell than watching your kids die. Something sort of obvious where, yeah, you'd rather something horrible happen to you than to the things you cherish, the things you're responsible for, the things you have created, okay? You'll die for your art, so to speak, to preserve it, to protect it, to keep it real, part of reality. And those kinds of things exist, and it's just a fact that people can understand what's that this isn't for free, that this isn't some blessing, that we are put in a pretty horrible circumstance being alive. But if you're going to be put in it, this is the time in some respects, because we're to a point where you can actually have an intelligent conversation about the fact that we are robotic and, just programmed mouthpieces, and that in some respects people are breeding their culture and perspective, and that's all that's taking place, and that intelligence doesn't have much to do with it. And all of those arguments can be made, and it can be understood that, yes, if you're going to have a conversation about reality, that you do have to know something about evolution and science and all of that crap, because it tells a lot of the truth. It's not obvious just looking at it, because you don't see what it really is doing. Because most of what it does in the bushes or at night or, at some other time. You could watch a lion, for example, on the prairie, and it's only a tiny percentage of the time that you would catch it doing the, kill other animals and eat them thing. Most of the time it would be sleeping, in the sun, and it'll all look like it's all very pleasant and nice. And no, that's not how it really is. And the same thing is true. All the, the sickness and the disability and the death is all hidden. It's not on the street. It doesn't happen before your eyes. People can get a very distorted perception of, what's really being paid for life. So for me, there's easy things to recall. People I've loved and seen, brutally killed, and don't need much more than that. It's this wish thing. It just occurred to me that, the last letter I wrote to my sister when she was dying, as much as we don't agree, I'm not a religious kook, any of that kind of crap, I wish, there were some words I could speak where I could take your place, because frankly, I don't have a kid, I don't have any reason to be here, frankly, I'm not having that good of a time anyway, I'm disposable. I'm more disposable. Let's just put it that way. There's fewer things dependent on me, fewer things that cherish my existence enough to be hurt by my absence. But that's all I could say was, this is just unacceptable, and if I could, you know, if I could bargain it away, I would bargain it away. But I don't have any currency. I don't have any ability to do that. Your God won't pay any attention to me. I didn't say that just because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to take what little pieces of her life would, that were left in terms of hope or, you know, but as I understand, it was pretty much, you know, that was part of the total indignity of her death was, you know, she lost her faith, and in the end, and you know, that's a, again, it's a kind of rape, you know, by this delusion, this fake fable that she married betrayed her in the end, so to speak. She didn't show up to save the day. But I mean, I would imagine every human can, you know, they have to have some story, okay? It's just, I don't think anybody can have a life that's untouched by these kinds of tragedies, you know. So I'm just saying, you know, why is this a complex argument to make that you're not doing anything a favor by injecting them by your volition, your will, your, you know, whatever, some sort of notion in your head that you're doing them a favor when it really won't be a favor. And in some cases, it's going to be just as bad can be. It's going to be worse than, okay, worse than you imagine yourself in hell, because it's going to happen to something you care about. Something you care about more than you care about yourself. And that's not hard to do, frankly. You know. Anyway. Alright, I'll try pausing again. I'm having difficulty with this video because, yes, my brain just can't get past the fact that this should not be a difficult argument to make, but it clearly is. Okay, and it goes back to the whole religion thing, or all any kind of this life-affirming delusions people carry, that somehow this is all some great movie. And even the great movies, you know, there's horrible, awful, slow, miserable death all over the place in some of them, and people still cling to it as some kind of great story because somebody walks away with a gold medal. You know. And they just don't see all of the other characters who were fodder for it, all the soldiers who died for it, or, you know, so what? You know, they're meaningless, as if those lives weren't just as good a story to tell as the survivor's story. You know, somehow the survivor's story just doesn't mean anything. The other way around, the non-survivor. So anyway. So whatever. Whatever. Yeah, it's a video. It's just another video trying to explain to people who just don't want to hear explanations. All right, back. So I was thinking of Richard Dawkins. Just because I, you know, gave the thought of it's the intellectuals who are so disappointing because they won't form some sort of army. They won't form a force against ignorance and idiocracy and stupidity. They just take their ivory tower, okay, and eat their pie and go lament. They just make a little lament. Oh, isn't it awful that the, you know, the silly, ignorant people make such a mess. And, you know, that's the extent of their passion to protect the future. So Richard Dawkins comes to mind just because, here he's, a guy who, scientifically studied the process of evolution, wrote a book called The Selfish Gene, because he basically acknowledged that it's, it's a molecule that you are. You're really not a person, okay, in the sense that what evolution sees you as is just a demonstration. You're just for the purpose of demonstrating the viability of a piece of code. You don't serve any other purpose. It's the code, okay, that will survive you. And that's all that matters. You don't matter. Your role is almost irrelevant beyond just performing a biological function and giving the DNA molecule its future existence. It lives forever, so to speak. You don't. it's in a contest, a musical chairs contest. It's fighting for its preservation in the future kind of thing, blah, 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 blah. And you're just a tool, for the molecule to accomplish the task, okay, that it doesn't desire to accomplish. It's just a machine that's programmed to do, that's in the end programmed only by the fact that you either win or you lose. You either accomplish the task of replicating successfully or you don't. You would have, in my opinion, it would be unavoidable to have a huge amount of cynicism regarding everything about us, recognizing that this is just some sort of gladiator war, and the gladiators aren't fighting for themselves, they're fighting for what were they called in France before the revolution? The elites. The elites are just machines. It's just a frickin' piece of chromosomes. what the fuck are we living and dying for that for? Too silly. We're being used like slaves, for a plantation that is retarded in terms of its lack of meaning. That just made me think of The Matrix, of course, the movies. Just because of the connection of the machines using the humans as a source of electricity, which was absolutely silly, but anyway. But yes, you're being controlled by something completely synthetic, without any emotion, without any passion, without any feelings. That's just a machine, and the simplest form. And it's bad to be a slave to other people, but it's worse to be a slave to a tree, or to some other mechanism that isn't even capable of recognizing your the price you've paid for its existence. It can't say thank you. It can't do anything. And certainly couldn't do it sincerely. That's what we're living and dying for. Well, anyway, so the idea that he wrote a book called The Greatest Show on Earth, and I didn't read it, but just to title a book like that, when he has to be perfectly aware that the attrition rate for organisms is insanely high. That there, many of them are, born into the world fully developed, like an octopus or something, and they're just brutally killed in, 99.99% kind of. Well, it's 999 or 9,099, percent are wiped out, in a matter of days or weeks or hours, in some brutally horrible way. And if they were fully, if they were full size and we could videotape all of that, we might have some appreciation. And that's what the whole real argument is about, is that people's brains aren't full of the images that are the real story, which is a bunch of child molestation and murder. That's the real movie. All these kittens and puppies pay the highest attrition rates, have the highest prices paid. They're stabbed in the neck more than anything else is. the children. And you could just metaphor that to the human condition. Now, humans have fixed some of that, so it's not so bad, as bad anyway. But there's plenty of St. Jude commercials. There's plenty of demonstrations that children are still paying an awful high price for your civilization, that their disability and brutal death is still what your bridge cost, okay? Your bridge to the future. That's what you're paying for it with, okay? Not only your own dismal, inevitable, destruction, something most people can appreciate as being offensive, to their sensibilities, hurtful, to have to witness children being tied on the railroad tracks and run over by the train. It's not an acceptable thing. It's not something you just to say, oh, okay, that's just part of the fun here of the game of life. I get my McDonald's hamburger and you kill some kids. Oh, what a great deal. I'll buy that. Give me a happy meal. Yeah, that's the greatest show on earth. Yeah, humans buying a happy meal. It's just such an offensive statement by something that's supposed to have an intelligence in terms of describing evolution. Making these disgusting monstrosities, these horrible machines, the carnage. But again, this was a smart person that had to have it explained to him that there's actually a subject. He didn't even know there was a subject called animal rights or animal welfare concern, that human beings would actually pay some attention and think that other sentient organisms that can feel, also need our care and protection. That just like my children wouldn't be the only children I should care about on Earth, my race or my species isn't the only species that has things in jeopardy. There's little kittens right now, sitting on little rocks and rivers and stuff. There's all kinds of rescuing and needs to be done, and it won't happen. And because people just don't care and they aren't paying attention, because they're just too busy, too distracted, eating their Happy Meals. That is not a great show. That's not the greatest show on earth. We pay this huge price to become intelligent organisms capable of understanding that all of these prices pay, that all these prices are paid, that you can, if you choose, see the horror. There's videos all over the place now where you can see people die. You can see a little kid in China get run over by a truck. And you can either say, I accept that price, I don't mind killing kids for my Happy Meal, or you can be a serious human and use your intelligence and say, no, I wouldn't pay that price. I'm not going to, suggest we put that bloody quarter in this machine. So until we can get that blood off the quarter, we're not using that money. It's not that complicated an argument, frankly. And the only thing in the way of the argument is some lie, okay? Maybe you have some lie in your head about Jehovah, or singularities, or black holes, or some kind of, wormholes, or some kind of crap, okay, that makes you think you're doing something else, but just behaving like a little knee-jerky robot, that all you're made out of is a bunch of knee-jerk reflexes. Every single word for you is a word that means something, and your brain jerks to it, and that's all that happens. And I sit there and say things like unacceptable risk, okay, there I'm shoving two words together, unacceptable risk, and your brain should be able to decide what the hell an unacceptable risk is, are what an unacceptable price is. I mean, how many do you have to kill, right? So, I mean, I've asked this simple question before. Like, let's just say you're the one that decides. You get to decide, okay? And let's say to have one lion, adult lion, you have to kill 10 cubs to have one adult lion. So for every one adult lion, you have to go out and in some brutal way kill 10 cubs. You know, give them a disease, starve them to death, hyenas rip them to pieces. They get eaten whole, either get eaten whole by a snake or something. And you have to be the one who decides. You know, you do it. You know, you have to kill them. Is it worth it to you? Is whatever it is you're living for, your delusion, can you make the justification and say, shit, yeah, that's a fair enough price. Yeah, what a great deal. Happy meal. You know, tortured and killed the kitten. Yo, oh, how does that go wrong? What's the problem? Is that what you're saying? Is that what your brain does? Is that the jerk you are? Your brain jerk is to say, I can reason that away. I can create some rationalizations that make it all okay. I can say it's okay. Yeah, kill three of my brothers. Who cares? I don't need them. You know, I live, they die. Yeah, that's a good deal. And again, the very fact that you're sitting here in the jeopardy, you know, you're in the quicksand talking about how great it is to swim in quicksand because you're still afloat. And that's the only reason. And so as you get a little deeper and a little deeper, you know, as you'll get older and older and you get closer and closer to your dismal death, I just can't imagine how you're going to keep the old, you know, jerky brain reflexes going, because the truth is going to sink in, and I think it'll make it a harder truth to eat, you know, in the future, because then you'll know how big an asshole you were your whole fucking life. You'll have a gigantic, besides the lament and the sorrow and the pain of just having to accept reality as being a brutal waste, you'll have the bigger, you know, knife in your throat of recognizing your own guilt and your own culpability, you know, what you caused and created, because you wouldn't tell the truth, because you couldn't tell the truth, because you had to defend some silly boating idea. We need to have boating. If we can't have boating, then I just can't stand life. Life has to have boating in it. And you really don't care how many people are in the, you know, in the swamp you're boating in. How many people have to die for your boating adventure? So the reality is that yes, that's the price is really high. How many people does a roller coaster have to kill? You know, I mean, one a year, 10 a year. How many does it have to paralyze before you say, well, we should shut that fucker down? I mean, like, this is, how does your brain jerk on these questions? And my argument is I think it can rationally be argued that you really don't have a right to impose any of this harm on anything. and that's just the simple truth. It's never a good deal. You're always paying much more. The value of the precious things you're, violating is more, is higher than your value, and just the fact. The value of anything you will contribute to the game, any way you will enhance the game, any way you will protect anything in the game, you will kill more than you save. Just the truth. Alright, I'll be back. Alright, back. So, yes, I said the word save. Oh, and that got me thinking about people on their rescue missions, you know, and how they torture things to save them. So you go back to the St. Jude thing, and then you think about what they do to their pets, you know, their some kitten is born without paws or something, and they put it through 30 surgeries to whatever, you know, make some sort of crappy fake synthetic thing that doesn't work. You know, and they just don't appreciate that that's Mangala. I mean, why? What? It's not the greatest show on earth. Surgeries and all that kind of crap, and all the pain of recovery and all that. You're imposing all of that torture for what? Because you want it, not because the cat needs it. Yuck. I mean, it's, you know, it's disgustingly cruel. You know, why not just let the animal go to sleep and not wake up? It really doesn't have anything to do. It's not going to cure cancer. All it's going to do is make you smile and think you saved something. That's what it's going to do, okay? But that's a delusion, and you shouldn't torture something for a delusion in your brain. You know, some delusionary, again, happy meal. The price of your little happy meal shouldn't be a bunch of experimental surgery on a suffering animal, because you need to save it. You know, not because it needs saving. What it needs is being spared any more grief. It's already had enough, and you're just adding more. So that's one of those things where it's just so little thought goes into what people do. And so that made me think of my sister again. Just because, yeah, I mean, she already knew, you know, the taint of life in the sense that she got cancer, colon cancer. Had a colostomy, the whole thing, survived the cancer, but, you know, their survival is unknown. Your future. And she had a kid, and, you know, thinking she was a survivor, and frankly, she wasn't. She wasn't going to get more than those 5 or 6 years, and that's all she got before the cancer was everywhere. And, you know, so she's got a 2-year-old kid, and she's dying of cancer. I mean, you know, it's just, do you need to write a darker story? You know, I mean, how dark does it have to get? But for what? You know, delusions and nonsense. Silly, unrealistic thinking. Wishful thinking. You know, all of those things. And again, they're not harmless. Silly religious delusions are not harmless. Silly optimism is not harmless. It directly leads to the mess being something the future has to clean up, something the future has to endure, frankly, and for no good reason. A little bit of forethought, a little bit of, you know, well, maybe I can find something else to eat. I don't have to eat this particular happy meal of, oh, I have a bunch of kids and they all laugh and fart and do funny things. Ha 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 ha. Maybe I can think of a better plan for the rest of my life. Maybe I can find some other project to work on. You know, maybe I can make something out of popsicle sticks or something. Or, you know, maybe I can, you know, find something else to live for than putting a bunch of children at risk. You know, risking their broken hearts and their alcoholism and their drug abuse and their cultural deprivation, and they turn into, you know, whatever. Human garbage. You know, can't figure out how to put a muffler on their car. Now you can think of something better to do. You know, and then what if you're, again, I mean, they can't even figure out that, well, what if my kid isn't as dumb as me and doesn't live for a bunch of silly delusions? Wow, what's he going to do on this planet? You know, they can't even imagine that that would be a dilemma, you know, to live on a, say, hey, I don't want to be a wage slave. I don't want to be fodder for some rich man's comfortable life. I don't want to be any of these fucking things. I don't want to play any of these silly roles you want to play. And you don't really want to play them because you're not playing them. You know, well, screw that. I don't want to, homie, don't play that. So what just popped into my head is the old idea that you know, people who were rich would have kids, right? And the idea was is that the firstborn gets all the money, and the rest of them don't get the same, you know, privilege. And it's just kind of funny that they're supposed to live for this ideal of elitism and all this bullshit, and they're not going to really enjoy any of it. They're not going to have the same advantages their father had, so to speak, in terms of being the person who inherited the land and, blah, 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 blah. And I remember, sight just pops into my head, another guy, a guy in Africa who had 25 sons or something, and he's got like 1 acre of land. he's got to cut it up, into 21 little pieces that nobody could live on, right? So nobody's going to survive none of his sons will have any hope because they won't have enough land to actually feed their family. This is because you have to divide it into 21 pieces, and there's no future in it, right? And that's just the whole unsustainable argument, again, that makes me think of the sort of the lie of the great life of the North American Indian just like all the other tribes, they had to destroy this overpopulation problem. The problem is their babies survived. They've been becoming civilized, they upped the odds, and the fact is they had more kids than the lands could sustain. And the only way they could find a way to survive is something had to kill people. you had to kill them off, because there was just too many. So their life wasn't some, blissful, happy little fun thing. Just like, people bring up the bonobo chimpanzees as if, they're just wonderful, multi-sexual, happy little monkeys. And no, they have the same liability. They over-reproduce and they have to go on genocidal raids to preserve their territory. Or they don't survive. It's all ugly. The truth about everything is not pretty. It's not precious, is not wonderful, and it's just evil for an intelligence on this planet to make excuses and to say something other than it's just way too expensive. It's not worth it. If you have to rape my children to have it, don't do it. But that's their attitude, right? If their kids get raped, then it's not worth it. But if it's somebody else's kids that get raped, it's worth it. If that's your rationalization, if that's how little brains you're applying to the question, boy, are you failing. I mean, your intelligence is wasted because you're certainly not using it right. You're not doing your 1+1s right. You haven't gotten to the more complex things like 4+3. You can't get past 1+1. Which doesn't equal 4, by the way. Some people think so. All right, so I was thinking of ambition, okay, and why people are capable of getting caught up in the fun. And I concede there's some parts that are fun. I can think of times in my life when I was capable of, living a normalish life. I liked golfing. Okay. So I can say that I had, I would enjoy this little personal contest of competing with the ground, the circumstance and defeating the course, so to speak. It was fun. And I remember pinball machines. I likewise found them intriguing in terms of this personal contest. So I liked competitions. So there were things I enjoyed doing that were competitive. I can say even just playing football with friends, that kind of stuff, I did enjoy it. It was worth doing every day, if possible. Even fishing, which is kind of disgusting in hindsight. Just because that one involves you can do a lot of introspection, while you're waiting forever for an event to take place. And so it gives you lots of time to think. And so that's what's, you know, it has a benefit. But I was thinking about this is all in the context of the fact that I was always apprehensive, and I always saw the limitations of it. I couldn't get totally immersed in some ways without having some sort of negative thoughts and some sort of something getting in the way. And I suppose it was almost like I was, again, it was just a disposition from birth to be a little bit off. I mean, I never felt really, I don't think I felt as good as other people. Now, you know, I had a doctor diagnose that as silent migraines. And that sort of makes some sense, because I always was kind of nauseous. And you know, it's just kind of, it's like I had a headache, but I didn't have a headache. You know, like something was aching, but I wasn't feeling the ache kind of thing. You just felt the symptoms. Kind of like when you have a cold or something sometimes, and you can feel like you have a cold, but you don't have any symptoms yet. And so, yeah, it just made it so much easier for me to, you know, not have the grasping tools to grab onto the king's coat, you know, as you walk down the yellow brick road or something. So I never got to Oz. You know, I never got to a point where I could totally be enveloped by the delusion that I was having a good time or that life was fun. And I always sort of had this dark apprehension about how it's going to, you know, what's going to happen to me. Okay. I didn't see success being very realistic, and I saw dismal failures being like one of those is going to be my fate. I'm going to end up like the possum my neighbors are poking with a stick in a garbage can. Some sort of, you know, horror. The three-legged dog, you know, running through the backyard. So maybe that's the difference, unfortunately. I mean, I didn't have to be convinced by having a rational argument and somebody explaining to me how life is dangerous and risky and messy and wasteful and sloppy and everything that you want is kind of trivial and silly and stupid, you know. I want to win the Masters, you know. You know, it's just, you know, it's just, yeah. You know. And if I win one, then I want to win two. If I win two, I want to win three. You know, I mean, it just doesn't end. And yeah, I couldn't, you know, I did actually see that as being a huge failure in terms of how life works. And that, you know, unfortunately, having doesn't, just won't change anything. I mean, it won't fix it. It won't fix the underlying problem. So even though I see something as being a deficit, like you're wearing only one shoe, and you can feel that, yeah, this one shoe thing is a real problem, blah, 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 I got to fix this one shoe thing. I only got one shoe. I got to put another shoe on. And if you accomplish for putting the other shoe on, then you figure out, you know, I don't have gloves. Or you'll figure out that, you know, there's a you know, knife in your back. Or you figure out that there's some other bigger problem. And that shoe thing was just a distraction. And, you know, there's lots of other problems you got to fix. That one was causing a limp, and that made that one more obvious. But the underlying other problems are real. You know, you were exposed to too much radon as a kid and you're going to get cancer and, you know, blah, 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 blah. You've inhaled too much crap. You know, you're doomed. Yuck. So many ways for life to kill you. But anyway, it's just, Anyway, so yeah, maybe I'll take one more pause and see if there's any other brain jerks that take place that may be of interest to you. Who knows? All right, well, maybe we'll end with that, the idea of brain jerking, you know, and that's all that, you know, maybe that'll be the title of the video. You know, and that's all we can do with this intelligence thing is allow it to jerk us around. And we get little pieces of information, and the information bounces around in there, and, you know, it shows up. You know, I don't make it happen. I just wait for it to happen. You know, so I'm just watching it, you know, just like you. I don't know what I'm going to say, you know, frankly. You know, until I start saying it, then you can know, you know, what I'm talking about, because, you know, you get little clues where your brain's going. I get little clues that it's going to do something with this brain reflex jerk idea, you know, that, you know, and that really it can jerk in intelligent ways, or it can jerk in silly, impulsive, wishful thinking, daydreamy, fantasy, delusional ways. And the basic argument is that you're insulting intelligence, you're insulting all the price that has been paid for human beings to acquire understanding, to you know, waste yourself on those delusions, to waste your capacity, you know, squander your opportunity to put ideas in the right, a better order and a better construct that's more likely to make you productive and an asset and something the future will be grateful for. And so something else that pops into the head is all the little things. You know, you hear some little thing about how brains work and little triggers. And, you know, the whole optimism thing is built into the physiological reactions, how much insulin and how much this and what hormones are running through your body, and little tricks you might be able to use, you know, breathe funny, and somehow that'll make your body think everything's okay, and then your brain will have more relaxed thoughts and, you know, some kind of, you know, all these little manipulations to try to mood yourself through your life without being terrified and without spiraling into the quicksand, rather than sensibly maintaining yourself and trying to sink with some sort of dignity. You know, that's all we can do, is try to sink in the quicksand, giving as fair advice to the future about what not to step on, you know, where not to step, because it's just going to lead to this. Okay, please, you know, spare me doing this again, because I'd rather not, and you're the only way I can be spared of it, is for your brain to recognize it as a problem and prevent it from happening in the future. That's the only way we get spared the bleak, horrible, tragic end. Alright, so that's probably enough of a video. Yes, I could go 2 more minutes, but you know, that's more like step on a crack, break your mother's back. That would just be indulging in superstition or some other kind of silly, wooey thinking that it could possibly matter whether it's in round minute numbers, when minutes are arbitrary and the seconds are arbitrary. You know, a half second could be a second, you know. We could be living, you know, you could be living to be 200 years old, you know, merely if we decided what a second was a little differently. You know, we'd have a different number. It would seem so much bigger, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah, it's like Fahrenheit and centigrade. Yeah, 90 degrees sounds like a lot more than 40. Yeah, yeah, it's just so, like I said, it's almost ridiculous, you know, the little cheats that are built into even the language and the way words sound. You know, some diseases sound like fun things, you know, and then some fun things sound like some sort of terrible spinal surgery, you know, it's just, it is all so ridiculous. So I am going to end before the 1 hour mark, just to prove I'm not going to be controlled by no silly notions. Okay, so anyway, end of the video and such. Until the next time, blah, 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 blah.